Welcome to the Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Boddy. I'm joined by industry experts and up-and-coming creatives as we unpack the skills, stories, and side hustles behind the entertainment and creative industries. So if you are ready to thrive and not just survive in showbiz and the arts and culture sector, you're in the right place. On today's episode, I'm joined by West End performer and viral content creator, Adam Lyons. We'll be discussing life in the West End, how to leverage social media to build a personal brand, and all things the business of show business. And here he is. Adam, how's it going?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I feel like you've dressed appropriate for the very hot weather.
It's too hot. I can't be dealing. I did apologise when I walked in. I was like, I'm in a vest and shorts and I will keep my legs crossed.
It's okay. It's like you're in your athleisure wear. It's fine. So I do want to jump on to, a lot of people watching will probably recognise you from like A Man in Finance and your gnarly videos. But before we do, I want to kind of cast back or to your other stream, I guess we should say, is your West End performing, not long finished in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And now your life has kind of taken this other creative turn. But let's rewind. Last year, what was life like for Adam as a performer?
Oh my gosh. 8 shows a week, Mrs. Doubtfire. My life was just go, go, go in the West End. Living my dream, like doing Mrs. Doubtfire was my absolute dream come true. I always said like I wanted to be in a West End show, in the ensemble, and to have a cover role. I was just living my dream. Yeah.
And now it might be safe to say that your dream has slightly evolved because you've gone down this other creative path as well. I had to keep updating these figures when I was writing them down. So they've probably changed. So there's no fact checking right now. But you've had over probably 70 million viewers across your content. You've had 124,000 TikTok followers. One of your latest videos has literally just had like 11.1 million views on social media. How are you balancing life now as a content creator? Because I think you have fully shifted over to that bracket now. You are definitely in there as well as performer.
Right. It's crazy. Like, even when you're saying that, I'm like, what? Like, so many people have just seen me, like, what, dancing in my garden? That video's got 11 million viewers. Like, what? Like, it's crazy, but I'm loving every second. It's a journey, but it's something which just the universe sent to me. Like, I never went looking for this. It just happened from a viral video. And then everything what's happened since then has just been an absolute whirlwind. But, like, I'm on that ride. I've fully just locked in and I'm going with it. And I'm loving every second.
Yeah, you're just like pumping it out. Yeah, content.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot from it as well. And I feel like you have got to keep going and ride that momentum, especially like you just said, like the following's going up, more people are interested. So you want to keep them engaged and you want to keep them in the palm of your hand and be like, yes. Ooh, get ready for what I've got next. So it's so exciting.
I think the biggest video, although now you probably had some that have surpassed that initial figure, the biggest video that kind of shot you into this social content creating spotlight was the Looking for a Man in Finance video, which I'm sure everyone has seen globally. Because I've seen some of the comments, it's like people from Australia being like, oh my God, it's the man from finance.
That's crazy.
Like, first of all, what was the prep like for that? When you were choreographing for it, did you think this was going to be like maybe open up this whole other pathway for you?
Absolutely not. And like, I'm all about the honesty here. I was just like not really feeling it for a second. I was like, what am I doing? Like the job came in and I was like, is this something I want to go and do? Like, cause I was living my dream, you know, in the West End, I'd finally got there. And like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go and do a flash mob in the middle of Liverpool Street Station. Was feeling a bit uneasy about it. I can't really explain it, but it was just like one of them days where I was like, I'm not feeling it. And I am so glad I did, because if I hadn't have gone that day to do the job, like all of this wouldn't be happening and I wouldn't have entered this next new chapter in my life, which is so wonderful. But yeah, it was quite a quick process. I think it was like the week before I just got an email. Universal Music were like, hey, like we really love your vibe. Like, can you create a piece of choreography for this song, Man in Finance? We want it to be like Britney Spears style / military.
Classic Adam.
Right? So I was like, this is up my street, so I will have to give it a go. And I honestly, Jamie, I choreographed it in like 5-10 minutes in my bedroom. Like, and I was just like, well, that's what it is. And I just had no expectation, rocked up, did the flash mob, and it was like 2 hours later, like my phone was just going mad. Like, it was so quick that the whole world was just like watching us, like finance bros, just take over Liverpool Street Station. The most random and bizarre thing, but it has literally put myself out there to set the mark for like my content creation. And it just kind of organically happened. And that's how my brand was formed. From that look, from that moment. I'm just so grateful that I had that moment.
And I think, like, back when I was freelance dancing still, like 10 years ago, flash mobs probably paid my rent because flash mobs were the thing back then.
Right.
So they kind of died out. But then yes. You've kind of brought flash mobs back now single-handedly with this. And now that you've, I feel like David Attenborough, when I see a man in finance walking down the street, I'm like, he's got a sensible gilet on, it's a blue shirt. Like, it literally is the uniform now for finance bros.
It is. It's known worldwide. Do you know what I mean? I laugh to myself when I walk past people on the way in. And I feel like sometimes I've got eyes clock and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm in the city, if I'm in Canary Wharf, I'm just like, I see you. And they see me. It's just crazy.
One of you. Did any skills from your time as a performer and also your singer-songwriter, have any of those skills kind of transferred over to your content creating, whether that's like the storytelling, being like creative? What kind of were those transferable skills?
Do you know what? It's the work ethic. I think people think that this content creation world is easy and you're just rocking up and you're doing a little dance and like getting loads of views or whatever, but it's not. It's a full-time job and you've got to have such a strong work ethic, and I pride myself off that. I've always worked so hard and no matter what I've done. So I've used that like athlete mentality coming into this content creation world, and I always want my content to be really striking and not just be... I'm not being shady to anyone or anything, but I think there's a lot of videos where the dancing on TikTok and stuff, it's very just like, just half-hearted, just a little like kind of posy. But I wanted it to be like, no, I want to bring my athlete level of dancing, what we all my friends and all my colleagues, like, we are athletes as dancers, performers. I want to bring that to the screen, to content, to TikTok. I want it to just be striking. So I think that's what I've brought in, is like, hitting it hard, going full out with it, having a strong work ethic, and yeah, just bringing joy through the screen.
And I think if there's any students who are watching or listening, like, social media as a distribution platform has become so more prevalent, where you see it on Spotlight now, breakdowns or commercial castings for socials only or for TikTok. Like, I think as a whole strand now, as a platform, it's growing and growing. So I think, as you said, you are an athlete, you are a performer. Like, why not just lend those skills to that and rock it? Are there any skills now that you're on the other side? Because you're having to negotiate, deal with contracts, book people, you're line managing your dancers. There's all these other business hats you're now putting on. Right. Are there any skills you're learning that you think, oh, I'm going to use that again when I'm performing more? Or are there any skills you think, right, performers, these are the business skills you need to kind of help you build a career you want?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is you have to know your worth. I know a lot of people say that, but knowing your worth. And I've learned so much, I think, over the years. Do you know when I've been on jobs and stuff, I've done so many things, so many like variety of jobs and stuff, where I've took note and I've always been like, oh, one day if I'm like a creative, or if I get my own business, fortunate enough to do that, which is happening now, it's like, okay, I will take that, I won't do that. So it's all of the skills I've learned along the way from other people of what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And I think it's just so important. The business of show business, it is a business. As fun and amazing as it is what we do, you have to sell yourself as a professional, entrepreneur, businessman. Like, that is the hat I have put on. Like, when I'm negotiating contracts and things like that, it's no joke. Do you know what I mean? And if there's something I think, oh, that's selling it a bit short, or like, I'm not even going to offer my dancers that, I just won't do it. Do you know what I mean? You've got to always just like push for more, and we deserve more. So that's what I'm proud of myself on. Like, and also there's a new thing, what I do is, if I've done a job and I've booked dancers, I pay them straight away. Like, as soon as the job is done, tick, they know the next day or even that night as they're on the way home, I just do it as I'm on the way home. I just want to like make a change in the industry as I'm doing it. Because sometimes there's no need to be waiting for too long. It's like, just pay it. If you've got the money, pay it. Or if it's being paid, just do it. So there's all these things along the way, I'm like, I'm going to do this right, or in my own little way, which works, which makes everyone happy.
Yeah. No, I love that you're then using this growth in your persona and your brand to help make those changes, which are needed, because the whole world's changing. The industry is changing, but maybe not at a speed that we want it to change. So this paying people on time, having those contracts, things like that are so important. Mm-hmm. These brand partnerships now. So obviously you did the first Looking for a Man in Finance, as you said, within 2 hours, started getting those pings. How early on was it after that then that you started getting those additional brands saying, hey, I want the Man in Finance at this restaurant. I want the man in finance at this clothing boutique. Because you've had to kind of, you've got that brand now, you're looking through that lens, but you've then got to collaborate with additional brands. So how soon did those additional collaborations start coming through?
It was pretty quick. I feel like it was the week after I did another flash mob for Sony Music, because that was a record label. But I think it was 2 weeks after we did one for Reese. I remember getting a call of a lovely lady from Reese, just like, hey, we want to make this happen, like, quick. I was like, what, Reese? I was like, yeah, okay. But yeah, it was pretty quick. And then that summer, because I think that video dropped in May, that whole summer was crazy and wild. And bear in mind, I was doing 8 shows a week as well at Doubtfire. So I had to balance all this. It was like juggling everything. But that summer, I did a lot of brand deals, a lot of collaborations. And they just, I know it sounds a bit like, oh, but they did just come to me. So far in this content creation career, I haven't chased anyone. I've been grateful and lucky enough for the brands and the company deals to come to me. And I remember just setting up a Gmail. It was like adamlionscreative@gmail.com. And I just changed it and I just wiped it on, put it on my Instagram, on my TikTok. And then it was just every day inquiries, like blah, 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 all these brands. I was like, this is so cool. And obviously there was a lot I couldn't do because I was in a contract. So yeah, the possibilities were endless, but I was fortunate enough to do what I could while doing the 8 shows a week. But it was pretty fast. It was literally 2 weeks after from that moment. Every week I was doing a different job, which was so cool.
But even this, again, having that the know-how, I think, right, this is picking up. Let's get a separate email address. Let's like optimize my Instagram bio. Like social media is a search engine now. And if you can Google a casting director or producer or company, they can like Google you. So it's great that you did that. Mm. Is that something you would now recommend to performers? Say, right, you need to start taking this more seriously. Social media is not going anywhere. Not saying that you need to have 50,000 followers to get work at all. Mm-hmm. However, there's no point being the best singer or dancer or actor out there, but if you can't get in the room, mm-hmm. where social media can maybe help you get in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just like to make yourself look as professional as possible. So I just knew, I just had this instinct. I was like, I saw the opportunity. Yeah. So I was like, I have to seize this moment now. So I did a whole little refresh of my social media. And like, it's funny you say that you don't need loads of followers or that, like, if you have like the brand or the thing what's there to sell, then great. It's not about the following. Like I think at that time, I didn't have that much of a following. I think something like 7,000 followers. On TikTok, like 5,000 followers. But yet these brands were still interested because the video had gone viral and it had a lot of statistics and whatever. But it wasn't about the following. And I thought that was really interesting. So I was like, what? You want me to do this? Like, why? Like, is that going to get much reach? But I think it's just about what you bring to the table. And I don't think it is about the following at all. It's just what you produce and what makes you different. What's your niche? Like, just figure it out and then try and sell that in the most authentic yet professional way. Yeah. So it's interesting because I had that Gmail address and then I was like, okay, things are getting a bit more serious now. I do actually have a business just being built. So then I did my whole website. I changed it. It's now inquiries@adamlionscreative.com.
Oh, fancy now.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to just like take yourself up a level. And don't get me wrong, like, I had to look around. I was inspired by other content creators and stuff. Like, what are they doing? How do I have to present myself in that way? So that's my advice. Just like take yourself like not too serious, but just add that little professional element. So brands and companies know that you're real. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That you have something cool to offer.
Well, and it's the same as you said, not just from a collaboration point of view, but like a Western show, a up-and-coming venue. All these people want to know who they're buying into. And as we know, people buy into brands that they know, like, and trust. And you as a personal brand, they want to trust that you can deliver 8 shows a week. They want to know that you're a nice person. They want to work with you again. So I think everything you said there, it's just making sure the in-person and the online kind of match.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
With collaborations, literally on our way up the stairs to the studio, you were saying, like, I've just had another email ping through, another collaboration for next week for like a well-known food and beverage venue. Yeah. How are you navigating that world at the moment? Does it come through agents? Does it come direct from brands? How is that kind of working out for you?
Yeah, it's varied. Like, that one was through an agency on behalf of the client. So it's 50-50. Sometimes it's direct from the client or from the agencies. And I act quick. Like, I already... So I was sat in Starbucks before this podcast, literally just having my ice black Americano. Email come through. Literally, I don't beat around the bush. I literally will reply. If I've got the time, I quickly just formulate what I want to say. Or I have some notes saved with quotes if they want to quote, so I can quickly just... But you've got to act quick because you want to do the job and you want to be the one who does it. So it's like, okay. And they wanted to do a flash mob next Friday. So that's a quick turnaround. So yeah, that's through an agency. But yeah, it's very... varied, but I'd say the majority of the work I've done has been direct from the client from the brand, which I prefer. I do like that because it's like you're building a one-on-one relationship direct, which is really cool. And I can't believe it. I pinch myself every time. Some of the labels or these big brands who I talk to, I'm just like, as if I'm speaking to you right now, and like, you want me to do that. Like, it's so cool.
You were traveling not so long ago, I think. Weren't you somewhere nice and sunny doing like a collaborative post? I think, oh, you get to travel with it now.
This is it for Rondorf. I was in Gran Canaria. I was in sand dunes, literally doing like this cowboy theme. It was so cool. And like, that's the beauty of it as well with this job. You can be anywhere in the world. And then if something comes in, like, it's like, oh, I could shoot it there. That could be cool. And sometimes they pay for you to go or to be there. But other times, like, I've been on holiday and a job's come through and I'm like, great, I can do it now. Like, it's so cool. I love it.
So obviously you have to be somewhat reactive because these requests are coming in maybe a week, 2 weeks in advance. Is there some form of strategy though when it comes to your content? So the content that you produce to pop out, like obviously I'm a big fan of Cat's Eye as well. So you did the gnarly routine.
Yes.
Is there some form of strategy to it where you try and turn around at least one video a week, or is it kind of more, do you look for trends, or how does that kind of, that element work to your content creation?
I love that question because I think about it all the time and I'm like conflicted in it because I'm like, most of the things I have done, it's always been spontaneous and I just wait for something to come out and I just hope that like an epic song comes out or something which suits my vibe comes. That's how I've worked so far. And it's interesting because some days I'm like, I have the urge to do something, but I don't know what because there isn't the right song or the right vibe. So don't get me wrong. Sometimes I look through trends and I'm like, but just if it's not for me or if I don't think I can do something like cool or what is like authentically myself in it, I won't do it. So at the minute, it's spontaneous. I wait. And like that Cat's Eye one, it's so interesting. One of my best friends, Jake, he was like, he messaged me and he was like, you need to jump on this gnarly like right now. Like it's going to go viral. It's going to kick off. And I was like, okay. So I literally just did it like in like 10 minutes or something. Just whopped, did my little gilet and just got in the
choreo, put an outfit on, did it.
Right. And then what's interesting from that video, then the record label contacted me directly and was like, hey, we'd love you to do some content creation for this as a campaign. So I was like, okay. So then I did my own few solo videos and then they were like, we want you to do a flash mob. So I always think if I hadn't have done that video in my garden just randomly because my friend said, get on it now, it's going to be a trend, would the record label have asked me to do it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's really interesting, but I'm so glad I did it. Yeah. And I almost didn't post that video, the one of me doing gnarly in the garden. I was like,
the one where your dog comes in.
The dogs. Well, yeah. I was looking after the dogs and all that. And it was before wet. So I was like, what am I doing? And I almost didn't post it. And this goes back to the, I almost didn't do the man in finance. I think this is a lesson that no matter how you might feel about something, just give it a go because you never know what the outcome's going to be. It's so exciting. So, because sometimes that might be like, a bit of self-doubt might come into my head, like, oh, why are you posting this one? Is this going to be the right thing? Will this reach people? You've just got to let that go and just put it out there and see. Because then that's been like my next big campaign at the minute from just doing it in the garden.
Casually in the garden, as you did. I think it'll be quite refreshing to hear because I think a lot of people will look at... established content creators online, but you've almost still got that imposter syndrome right. At times, haven't you? Which
listen, Lady Gaga has that, all these big stars have it, we all have it, and it's how you deal with it. And like, I've really figured that out a lot this year. And it's just about trusting the process, believing yourself so hard, and you can't go wrong. Because if a video doesn't take off, all of that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Just as long as you are happy with what you are doing and you put it out there and you have that belief, then you're doing everything right. If it goes viral or not, it doesn't matter. If you are creative, you're a creative person and you have that inside you that you want to put out there into the world, just go for it. Rid that voice in your head because if I would have listened to that voice in my head, none of this would have been happening for me at all. And I'm truly, truly grateful that I just stayed true to myself this whole time and just went for it. Because I think there's this thing about putting yourself out online. People are scared to do it, and especially people who haven't been involved in social media over the years. Like, for my generation, do you know what I mean? Like, sound a bit old now, but
yeah,
you've got to just get used to it and just go for it if that's what you want to do, because it's a big part of our life right now. So just get over it. No one is bothered. Everyone's doing it. Just go for it.
Well, as we said before off camera, like, rewind 5-10 years ago, social media as an output wasn't that big. But as you said, nowadays, if you are a freelancer, even if you're like a visual artist, a journalist, whatever it is in the creative sector, you have to be online, because it's a search engine, it's a portfolio, it's a way to connect with other people in the area. So I think that's a lovely way to put it. It's not always about, the target doesn't always need to be about followers. Maybe the target is actually just building up a positive relationship with social media to get you to where you want to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And just make it authentic. Don't ever try and be like anyone else. Like, it's good to get inspiration, and it's good to, like I said, like, oh, what are the other social media creators doing right now regarding like their bios and stuff? Like, I've took note of that. Like, on my Instagram now, I've like got my TikTok following on it and all stuff like that. But what I'm really, like, what I believe in is staying true to yourself as you put it out there. Don't ever try and be anyone else or anything else. Just put out there what feels right for you, for sure.
And at this moment in your career, in your life, is the content creating strand maybe more prominent? Because obviously last year, 8 shows a week, Loving Your Best Life and Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. Now, is the content creating maybe taking up a bit bigger slice of the pie, should we say? Is that kind of your main focus at the moment?
It is. It is. And I'm absolutely loving it. Like, it's so cool. And I'm just giving myself this year, don't get me wrong, musical theatre, doing all my other jobs, my performing work, that is everything to me, and it fulfills something. And all my musical theatre people, you will know what that fulfills. Like, to do 8 shows a week to a live audience in the West End is so, so fulfilling. So in a way, I miss that sometimes. It's like in the evening and I'm like, I should be on stage now giving it. But I'm just remembering the thought of last year, I had so many opportunities come which I couldn't do. So right now I'm giving myself, I've said to myself, ride this wave, put yourself out there and just go for my dreams. Giving myself this year to be free from a contract, from a musical, to just see what happens and put my time into creating what I want to create and just be free, which is really exciting. But I know that there will be a time where I'm like, I'm ready to go back into the show now. Like, that's just in my blood, to my veins.
And like, not to go too in depth with this, but are you now seen as a content creator? How people can make it financially sustainable? Is it a life, if you are maybe cracking into the upper echelons or whatever it is, even again, maybe your following is not huge, but you're getting those brand partnerships. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of a viable income stream now? Would you say for a lot of people, it could be actually that is your bread and butter money?
It really could be. The scary thing is it's the uncertainty. Yeah. You don't know. Like, I'm so aware of this. I'm like, this could all end next week. It could just be a quiet spell, but you've just got to trust the process. And I think it's really important to have something else if you're starting out doing this or whatever. Like, I feel grateful enough right now that I'm earning a good living with this. And I've saw the other side of it, which is also what made me give myself this year to be free, because financially I can at the minute. I'm so grateful for it because all these things are happening. But I know that's not the case for everyone. And sometimes there's a quiet week and then I'll start freaking out and I'll be like, okay, is that it? But no, then the next email comes through, then the next job. And you just feel like, oh, like, thank God. But it's so important to do some other gigs, to teach, to do whatever makes you happy along the side of it. And if it takes off, great. But I wouldn't suggest like making it your absolute thing when you start out, if that makes sense. I just think be wise.
Well, I think you've got also gauge like having like positive mental health online as well, because you can just scroll for hours, and then if you don't get the likes or hits, for some people we do see, or you, it's explored in documentaries now, you hear the other side of social media, how it can obviously have a negative impact. So I think it's lovely that you said have it as like an additional side stream, or maybe like as a seesaw, so when the musical theater side's not up, you've got the content side and vice versa. But don't think necessarily tomorrow that one replicating what someone else has done yesterday virally will maybe get you to the same point.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess this did start off as my extra thing, because I was doing my show and then in the day I'd do a shoot and that was cool. Whereas, sorry, go fucking through. The difference is now is like, this is my full-time job at the minute, and I'm so grateful enough, but I know that's not the case for everyone. So there is an element of pressure, but like, you just have to not put so much on that and just chill.
So you've kind of given some advice there of like chilling and like the pressure. But if someone's watching and they're like, right, I've got a somewhat following, or I love just creating content regardless of views. Mm. What advice would you give if you were starting out again right now? What advice would you give to someone who wants to get into content creation?
Yes, I would say just keep it fresh, keep it fun. The second it isn't fun, I don't think it's for you. I think it's so important. And especially if you are putting yourself out there as a positive person and it's all joy through the screen, make sure that is real, because I've seen a lot of people not be that way in real life. They struggle with it. And like, their mental health is like shattering because they're so fixated on the statistics, being on your phone all the time. Like, it's not healthy to be on your phone all the time. And my partner is like, I love about you, Adam, that you know when enough is enough. Like, if I'm with my friends, if I'm with him, like, it's like, okay, phone off, let's have some quality time. I come in from my work in the night, whatever shoot I've been doing, and I just will turn it off and I'll put it in the drawer. And just like, zen out. I think it's so important to just keep focused. Don't get too absorbed into the whole world of the statistics and the ups and downs, but just stay positive as much as you can. So yeah.
Do you ever use the data from social media to help you steer future content? Do you look at the analytics, for instance, of like what your following is, what demographic, maybe where they are geographically? Is that something now, with your business head on, are you starting to look at a bit more when it comes to brand collaborations?
Absolutely. Like, it's important to look at that. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying statistics don't matter. Yeah. But in a way, like, for different brands, they may ask me, they'll be like, oh, can you send over your analytics? And I'm like, yeah, okay. That's when I will have a little look and I'll be like, okay. Yeah. And then I'm like, whoa, what's happening? Like, it's so cool to know how many people have seen my work, which is so, so cool. Yeah, it is important. And then you figure out then, you know who your audience is more, what they like. It's interesting, it's even like what time they're most active online. Like, I didn't know that that matters, but it does matter. Yeah. Like, I think my most engagement time is like a 6 p.m. on a Friday and a Saturday at like a 10 a.m. Like, it's these things. So then I might post a video then, more so than randomly in the week or whatever. But then it's like, well, is this true? Because sometimes it's just luck of the draw. Like, there's been times where I've posted something and nothing's happened. And I'm like, well, that's that. But it doesn't matter. But yeah, so them tools can help you to get the right engagement,
and
for sure.
If you use them in the right way. And it's like, if there's any actors, singers, dancers, writers listening, I think you need to know what you're selling and who's buying what you're selling. So it's using those tools to identify your audience. So the same if you are a freelance actor, dancer, who is buying the skills you have right now? Like, if singing's not high up on your list, don't audition for a show that has singing first round, because you're going to get in your head. Like, it's understanding you are a product, you're offering a service, who's buying that? So I think it's a great way that you are helping that to leverage your personal brand now.
Yeah.
Now, if we kind of go back a bit to musical theatre, Adam.
Yeah.
What advice would you give for sustaining 8 shows a week? Because that is brutal. And also, it's the timings of the day. Like, you've had a whole day and then you're rocking up and doing shows, potentially matinee as well. So it's not only getting through 8 shows, it's that work-life balance. So what kind of your advice for anyone who's struggling with that right now?
You have to completely look after yourself in every way. Like I said, like, you are an athlete. Like, I made sure I had like healthy meals, I was eating at the right times, I go to the gym, lots of cardio, weight training, Barry's boot camp. Like, I just treat it like you have to dedicate your entire being to be the best you can be at the in the show and at night. Like, you want to literally just present yourself in the best way possible. And I feel like a lot of people know me as the one who goes full out, or the one who's like extra in the ensemble or whatever. But that's because I really did look after myself and I made sure I got to bed on time. Like, sleep is everything. My nutrition, I just took that really, really seriously. And like, I don't really drink much or whatever. I'm not like a going out person. Like, I know if I've got a show the next day, I do like remember. Yeah. I'm like, no, I need to like go to bed, look after myself. Yeah, because I just always want that audience member to be like, whoa, he's on his game. Like, that really makes me happy. Yeah.
And also, you're always in that hot tub. I see that on social. Always in the hot tub, that one.
That did help as well, to relax the muscles after the show. I'd get straight in there. Yeah.
So we spoke about advice for content creating for creatives. Advice now for performers. So anyone watching who's thinking, right, I want to be in the West End. I want to do tours. Because I think I saw you in the tour of Priscilla.
Yes.
In Wimbledon, I believe. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So, yes. So what maybe advice would you give to anyone who is a freelance performer, singer, dancer, actor, and they want to try and get into a show? Is it sending strong emails to agents or casting directors? Is it going to class? Are there any kind of nuggets of advice you could share?
I think it's just like completely work on your craft. Know your craft. Dedicate yourself to it and the direction you want to go in. And then I think, like, for me, I never really have, like, chased people. That's just never been my vibe. I know it's different and it's important to network and stuff and contact people, but I personally never, that was never my journey. My journey would be, like, literally through my agent sending me to an audition. I'll go along to the audition and get my musical theatre jobs like that. But I've had friends who they haven't got in the room for things and they've acted upon that because they really believe that they want to be in that show or that they're the right role. And they've contacted the casting director personally and then they've got the job. So it is really important if you're not getting in the room. Great if you are, because then they're seeing you and you literally present yourself in that way. But some of my friends have got lead roles. And they messaged. And like my friend, very good friend, she's got like a break before she starts the producers. And she was like, can you get me in the room for this? Because I've worked with them before. So I sent a message on behalf of her and then she got the job. Yeah. So that's really cool. Yeah.
And I think even touching back on what you said earlier about having quotes ready to send to collaborators, I think it's knowing what is in your marketing portfolio at that time. So if you're not getting in the room, right, do I need to reassess my headshots? Do I need to do a social media audit like you did? Do I need to zhuzh up my website? Do I need to get into class? There's so many business elements that I think sometimes as creators, you don't get the audition. Mm-hmm. Great, I can't just wait a whole other year for that audition to come back up. How am I going to get there, get out there? And I think hitting back on what you said about being authentic and knowing your brand, I think that's so important. So even when you pitched your friend to that casting director, you trusted their brand enough to know that they would deliver.
Yeah.
Because it's your name on the line.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's really important to don't put yourself in a box. Like, if you want to keep yourself busy, like you said, like if you've auditioned for something, then the audition's not coming around for the next year. Don't make that your complete focus. Yeah. I really think, like, do other gigs, do different work, like, be open. Just don't limit yourself to something. Because you have to keep yourself busy and you have to keep earning that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So be a business. Literally, it is about being a business. And being a business, you're not going to wait a year for a job. Don't wait around. Just keep yourself busy. Keep yourself focused. Earn that money. There's so much money to be earned out there. You've just got to be versatile, completely versatile. And that's something I did my whole career. I literally one day would be doing like a gig, like up in Aberdeen, like in some random like private party. Then the next day I'd be dancing for Rita Ora on Summertime Ball. Like every day was so different. I was literally doing gigs, singing. I just kept myself so busy. And I think that's really important. And you really learn your craft that way. Yeah. And you learn what you want to do, what you don't want. So when you're lucky enough to do the things you love, you know, this is for me, this is what I want to do, and focus on more so.
Great. Oh, no, I love that. I was just taking that in. I was like, yes, all of that.
Just
all
on
of
one.
That.
Sometimes I just go on one.
No,
you know.
I loved it. I'm going to do one little thing now before I let you go. And I'm doing a new thing now. It's our kind of a lightning round of questions.
Okay.
It's got a working title of Lights, Questions, Action. And I'm just going to do some quick fire questions and you're going to answer them for me. Yours has got a little twist on the end, though, compared to others. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So you're quick. Questions for your Lights, Questions, Action. First one, favourite role you've played?
Stuart Dunmire, Mrs. Doubtfire.
What's the hardest thing, Tech Week or filming a TikTok 10 times to get it right?
Oh, Tech Week.
Social media red flag. What do you not like to see on social media?
Negative comments.
What brand would you love to collaborate with but you haven't yet?
Oh. Gymshark.
Gymshark, you heard it here, guys. Gymshark.
Or On Trainers. On.
and then do you prefer leaving a long voice note or text message?
Long voice note.
Okay, great. And then my other little twist for you now is obviously Man in Finance is, look at Man in Finance, 6'5". I'm going to now test your knowledge to know if these actors are 6'5 or not.
Oh, okay. I like this. I love this.
So your first one is classic Jurassic Park actor, Jeff Goldblum, 6'5 or not?
Not.
6'5".
Oh my gosh.
Yes, get out.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Everyone's favourite Ken, Ryan Gosling.
No.
You're correct. He's 6 foot, which is still a good size.
Yeah, we love a 6 foot.
Next up, from the Umbrella Academy in Game of Thrones, Tom Hopper.
6'5".
Yes, you're correct. NBA legend, Michael Jordan.
6'5".
Yes, and last but not least, he's from Crazy Rich Asians. And last Christmas, Henry Golden.
Not 6'5".
He's 6'1". You're correct.
Oh, thank God.
You only got one wrong. That is okay. Adam, an absolute delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I've loved this and I hope that's helped.
Pleasure. And the last thing to say is make sure you comment and subscribe wherever you watch or listen to your podcast and check out the next episode.
Whoop.